Thank you for tuning in this morning to the Let the Bible Speak program brought to you by the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ. We're glad that you've joined us. We appreciate your presence in listening and in tuning in and supporting this program and having an open mind and an open Bible. If you'll turn to your Old Testament, in your Old Testament, to Genesis chapter 6, I would like to talk about the story of Noah and the flood, Noah and the ark and that great flood, and what we can learn from that account of God's word where he comes in judgment upon sin. What we can learn from that so that we can be saved from sin today. Genesis chapter 6. Before we look at that account, I want to remind us of our upcoming gospel meeting with Steve Reeves of Benton, Illinois. The theme will be, What Has the Lord Spoken? And the date will be April the 11th through the 14th. April the 11th through the 14th. And so Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night at 7 p.m. Sunday morning, 9:30 and 10:30 a.m. Sunday evening at 6 p.m. What has the Lord spoken? That really is what is important for us today. Many people have gotten away from what the Lord has spoken. They follow what man has spoken or what they think or what they feel. And that's one reason why we have a lot of religious division in the world. We need to get back to what the Lord has spoken. We can all be unified upon that. So we would invite you to come to our gospel meeting April the 11th through the 14th. We meet at 290 Warfield Boulevard in Clarksville, Tennessee. If you would like a ride or more information, you can reach us at 931-647-1324. That's 931-647-1324. Or you can reach us on the web at wbcoc.org. That's wbcoc.org. Come visit us at our annual spring gospel meeting, April the 11th through the 14th. In Genesis chapter 6, we read about how that God, 6 and 7, how that God sent a flood upon the earth to punish mankind for his sin. But there was an exception to the wicked, sinful mankind, and that was Noah and his family. One lesson that we can learn today is that we can be different. We don't have to be like the sinful world around us. We can listen to God. We can love God and his word, follow his word, be different, walk with God, be upright in his sight, and be saved when Jesus comes again. But let's read the account of Genesis chapter 6 and 7 this morning. Of course, last week on the program, we looked at the story of Cain and Abel in Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 5 is a summary of the genealogies from Adam and Eve all the way down to Noah. It is setting up the account for Noah and the ark. And so Genesis chapter 5, we will pass over that for our purposes this morning. Each person listed in the genealogy, it closes with, and he died, to point out the physical death that was a consequence of sin. Each person is mentioned as dying. But that genealogy brings us down to Noah in Genesis chapter 5 and verse 32. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And then let's read the account of the well-known story of Noah and his ark and the flood. And let's see what we can learn for our admonition this morning. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 1. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the ground, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all that they chose. And Jehovah said, My spirit shall not strive with men forever, for that he also is flesh. Yet shall his days be 120 years. The Nephilim were in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare them children to them, the same were the mighty men that were of old, the men of renown. And Jehovah saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented Jehovah that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And Jehovah said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the ground, both man and beast and creeping things and birds of the heavens, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of Jehovah. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man and perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And the earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God saw the earth, and behold, it was very corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood, rooms thou shalt make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is how thou shalt make it. The length of the ark 300 cubits, and the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. And the light shall you make in the ark, and to a cubit thou shalt finish it upward. And the door of the ark shall thou set in the side thereof, with lower and second and third stories thou shalt make it. And behold, I do bring the flood of waters upon the earth, to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. From under heaven everything that is in the earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with thee, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons, and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark, to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female, of the birds after their kind, and of the cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing on the ground after its kind, two of every sort thou shalt come unto thee, to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee all food that is eaten, and gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. And Jehovah said unto Noah, Come, thou and all thy house, into the ark. For thee, have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee seven and seven, the male and his female, and the beasts that are not clean too, the male and his female, of the birds also of the heavens, seven and seven, male and female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And every living thing that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the ground. And Noah did according unto all that Jehovah commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood waters was upon the earth. And Noah went in, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with them, into the ark because of the waters of the flood. Of clean beast and of beasts that are not clean, of the birds and everything that creepeth upon the ground, there went in two and two unto Noah into the ark, male and female, as God commanded Noah. And it came to pass after the 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, on the 17th day of the month. On the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of the heaven were opened, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. In the selfsame day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth and the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with them into the ark, they and every beast after its kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after its kind, and every bird after its kind, and every bird after its sort. And they went in unto Noah into the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And they that went in male and female of all the flesh, and God, as God commanded him, and Jehovah shut him in. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lifted up above the earth. And the waters prevailed and increased greatly upon the earth. And the ark went upon the face of the waters, and the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth. And all the high mountains that were under the whole heaven were covered. 50 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. And all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both birds and cattle and beasts, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man. And all whose nostrils was the breath of the spirit of life, and all that was on dry land died. And every living thing that was destroyed that was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle and creeping thing, and of the birds of the heavens, and they were destroyed from the earth. And Noah only was left, and they that were with him in the ark. And the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. And of course, chapter 8 talks about them staying in the ark for a period of time, and then the ark coming to rest on Ararat, and after a period of time they leave the ark and replenish the earth again. What a great Bible story. And we need to understand the importance of this. This is God's judgment upon sin. The first thing I want to talk about this morning is that God judges sin. The word destroyed is used many times. God cannot turn a blind eye to sin. He doesn't just ignore that like man does today. And so God sees this great sin. He sees the wickedness of man, chapter 6 and verse 5. The every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. And he did something to judge and punish that. And we need to remember that that is going to happen again at the end of time. But God is not going to use a flood like he did at this time. He's going to use a fire. If you turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3, we see again that God is going to punish sin. He's going to destroy the earth with fire, and man is going to be destroyed. And we have this idea of destruction again. In 2 Peter chapter 3, in verse 4, Peter talks about how that some will mock the coming of God's Son. Where is the promise of His coming? For from the day that the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. 2 Peter 3, 5. For this they willfully forget that there were heavens from of old, and an earth compacted out of water and amidst water by the word of God. That's the creation of the world in Genesis chapter 1. And then Peter moves forward to Genesis chapter 6. This world, by which means, that is the word of God, by which means the word of God, the world that then was, that's the world from Adam up to Noah, the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens that now are, and the earth by the same word, have been stored up for fire, being reserved against the day of judgment and of destruction of ungodly men. Notice the destruction of ungodly men. It's the same thing. Ungodly men were destroyed by a flood, and when God comes again, He sends His Son, the earth will be stored up for fire, and all mankind will stand before God in judgment, and ungodly men will be destroyed. Verse 8, but forget not this one thing, beloved, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering to youward, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You and I have an opportunity to be saved, just like Noah and his family did, but we have to repent and be baptized. And we're going to see how baptism is tied in with Noah later on in today's lesson. But we need to repent because there's a coming judgment day. The flood was a judgment day. And we have a coming judgment day for us. Verse 10, the day of the Lord will come as a thief, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall be dissolved with fervent heat, and the earth and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing that these things are thus all to be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy living and godliness, looking for and earnestly desiring the coming of the day of God, by reason of which the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. But according to His promise, we look for the new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for these things, give diligence that you may be found in peace, without spot and blameless in His sight, and account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. God wants us to be saved. And so there was a coming flood that destroyed ungodliness. There is a coming fire upon the earth, and when man stands before God in judgment, ungodly men will be destroyed in hell fire. And so this lesson of Noah and the ark and the flood is parallel for our coming judgment. A second lesson that we learn is the importance of living a righteous life, and that salvation has always been by grace through faith. In Genesis chapter 6 and verse 8, Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. That's grace. We're always saved by grace. God's favor, God's blessing. He wants us to be saved. He gave them an opportunity to be saved by giving them time to repent and giving instructions on how to build an ark, the place in which they could have salvation. Today, we're saved by grace. God sends His Son to die upon the cross for our sins. He shows His blessing and His favor. He gives us His Word in the Bible. And we need to exercise our faith just like Noah did. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7, the Scripture says, "By faith Noah, being warned of God concerning things not seen as yet, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, through which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith." The way that we are made right is according to faith. We listen to what God tells us, we obey it, we do it, and we're made righteous, and we can be saved from the coming destruction. Notice in Hebrews 11 and verse 7, by faith. That's an active, obedient faith. Being warned of God. God is warning us about His Son coming again. A lot of people won't heed that warning. Concerning things not seen as yet. There had never been a flood like this before. And when we talk about Jesus coming again, that's not something that has been seen yet. He was moved with godly fear. We need to be moved with godly fear. He prepared an ark to the saving of His house. We need to obey the gospel for the saving of our house, which He condemned the world. When we obey God, we say to the world, they are not obeying God. It's not that we shake our finger in their face and belittle them and bemean them and put them down. But we condemn the world when we obey God. They are shown to not obey God, and they stand in condemnation. And Noah became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. That's how God makes us righteous. It's by His grace and through our faith that we are saved. And so the faith of Noah moved him to obey. Twice in the story, Genesis chapter 6 and verse 22, Noah did according to all that God commanded. And then in chapter 7 and verse 5, Noah did according unto all that Jehovah God commanded. We have to follow the instructions that God gives us in order to be saved from the coming destruction. In Noah's case, it was building the ark exactly as the plan called for it. God gave the dimensions of the ark. He gave how many stories it was to be. He told how it was to be built. And Noah followed that plan and that pattern exactly. And we must do that today with regard to the New Testament gospel plan of salvation. We must believe that Jesus is the Christ. John 8:24. We must confess that He is the Christ. We must believe that in our heart and confess that with our mouth, Romans 10:9-10. We must repent of our sins and be baptized for the remission of our sins, Acts 2:38. We must live faithfully each day thereafter. If we do sin, in Acts 8, we're told that a Christian who sins can repent of that, stop that, confess that to God in prayer, 1 John 1:7-9. Confess that, pray for that, and we'll be forgiven. That's the pattern, that's the plan. And friends, let me encourage you to do that. And if you haven't, let me encourage you to do that. And if I can help you to do that, let's get together and do that very thing. But you know, not everybody wanted to get on the ark. Only Noah and his wife and three sons and their wives, only 8 individuals, 8 souls were saved. Not everybody wanted that. And what's interesting is that not everybody wants to be saved today. Jesus brings up the story of Noah and the ark in Matthew chapter 24, verses 37 and 38. And in that context, he's talking about him coming again, Jesus coming again. And when Jesus comes again, it's just going to be just like when the flood came in Noah's day. People are going to be surprised. They're not going to be ready. They're not going to be prepared. They're not going to go to heaven. Jesus said in Matthew 24 and verse 37, "And as were the days of Noah, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days which were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark." They weren't ready. They were going along with just life's affairs, but they were not doing what was right. And Noah tried to preach to them. He tried to save them, just like we're doing today on the program. We're trying to preach God's Word and let the Word of God speak so that we can be saved. But not everybody wants that. They just want to go on their merry way, and they won't be ready when Jesus comes again. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 2, 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. Let's read about Noah. We've already learned that he was a righteous man. We were told that in Genesis chapter 6. We're told that in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7. And it's mentioned here again in 2 Peter chapter 2. There are two places in 2 Peter where Peter references the story of the flood and Noah. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. "God spared not the ancient world, but preserved Noah with seven others, a preacher of righteousness, when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly." A preacher of righteousness. Noah wasn't just an ark builder. He was also a preacher. He wasn't just a construction worker and an architect. He was a preacher. And he tried to get people to be saved. And out of all those people that lived in his day, he could only save his family. It's positive in that they were saved, but it's pretty sad that nobody else wanted to listen. And it's sad today when many people don't want to listen to the Word of God. But don't be like that, friend. Come and obey the gospel, and let us help you to do that very thing. You've got to be ready, not for a flood, but for Jesus coming again. And then another lesson that we can take from this account in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 7, we've learned about the horrible nature of sin and how that God is going to punish and destroy that. We've learned how that we can be saved by grace through faith. We've learned the importance of being prepared when that day comes and not ignoring the preaching of righteousness, but obey that. Don't just go on our way engaging in the things of this life and not being ready. But there's another lesson that we can learn as well, and that is that the water that God used in the flood, while it destroyed mankind, it saved Noah and his family. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, Noah is referenced once again by Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 19. 1 Peter 3, 19. Speaking of Jesus Christ, Jesus, in which Jesus also, he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. He preached through Noah, who was a preacher of righteousness, to spirits in prison. They were imprisoned by sin. Mankind imprisoned by sin. They need to come out of that. That aforetime were disobedient. We just read about that in Genesis 6 verse 5. The thought of their heart was evil continually. They were disobedient when the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah. We read that in 2 Peter chapter 3. God is long-suffering. He waited. He gave them 120 years. That's a long time. While Noah was building the ark, a long time for them to make a change, but they ignored his long-suffering. When the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is eight souls, were saved through water, which also, that is water, which also, the water also, after a true likeness, doth now save you, even baptism, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Noah and his family were saved through water, and baptism does the same. It washes away our sins, Acts 22:16. There are denominations today and preachers today that say that baptism doesn't save. Peter said in 1 Peter 3:20, baptism doth also now save you. It's not the water itself that saves. That's what puts us in contact with the blood of Jesus. Jesus' blood on the cross saves us. But how we contact that blood is through baptism. Jesus shed his blood for all mankind, but that doesn't mean that all mankind are going to be saved. Only those who contact that blood in baptism, that's where their sins are washed away. So Noah and his family were saved through water, which also is a likeness to that flood. It's a likeness, even baptism. And so, will you be baptized today and be saved through that water, which allows you to contact the blood of Jesus Christ? Friends, we need to learn these great lessons from Noah and the flood, because there are so many, many parallels between that great account and the plan of salvation today and being ready for God's coming judgment, not in a flood, but in Jesus coming again, the world being burned up with fire, and we standing before, all mankind standing before that great judgment seat of Christ. Will you be ready for that day to come? And in 1 Peter chapter 3, it's mentioned again, 8 souls were saved through water. Just 8. I want to close with this thought. It's not about the majority. We don't need to worry about the majority, what most of the people are doing. Most of the people were lost in the flood. 8 is a minority. Walk with the minority. Walk with the righteous. Walk with the few. Few. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 that few are traveling the narrow road that leads to eternal life. Don't go along with the majority of what everybody else is doing, but be among the few that are right and that are saved. And be ready when the Lord comes again. I'm sure people laughed at Noah for building a big old boat. I'm sure some of them laughed at the prospect of a coming flood that they had never seen before. And there are people today that laugh and they put down the idea of obeying the gospel. But don't be bothered by that. Just simply do what the Lord says to do. As we come to the close of our program, can I encourage you to be a faithful Noah? You may not be able to help everybody else, but you can save yourself and your family. And if we can help you to do that, why won't you come be with us? Let's study together with an open mind and an open Bible. Come worship with us at the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ as well. We're glad that you joined us this morning, and we hope that you'll have a good day.